Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 639, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't bother to look it up before recording. I'm going off what just kind of briefly looked at my desktop to figure out, like, okay, what was the last thing I had saved here? So, yeah, it's 6:39, I believe. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse, and I'm a little off my game here. My trusty psychic, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty, is somewhere hiding amongst me, or here, where, there, anywhere? I don't know. Probably hear him before too long. He's about to get fed off the automatic feeder. So I'm sure I'll be hearing the casino slot machine type thing going off and him running towards it as we've got less than 8 minutes to go before that thing goes off. And holy hell, my voice sounds so weird. I'm trying to get used to it. It's fucking weird. I believe I mentioned the last few episodes that I was having issues with my fucking headphones. There was a short in them. I tried replacing the cord. The cord wasn't the problem. It was the fucking headphones. They were quite a few years old. Probably like close to, quite 10 years old. But they were like well over like 5 years old. Been using them a while. A minute. Or, years, rather. And yeah, they were cutting out. I just turned my head and all of a sudden, like, no sound. No sound. And I almost got some off Musician's Friend, because they have some, like, Black Friday sales going on. They had, like, one, which I might still also get them as well. I mean, it's not bad to have, like, multiple headphone options. I mean, if I were to have, like, guests up in here again for the podcast, which might be happening soon. Might be happening soon. The Muffin Man was talking about possibly coming by, stopping by at some point, and whatnot. And, or whatevs, you know? And, I didn't get the ones off Musician's Friend, but they had like a $400 pair that was like on sale for like $100. I came close to getting that, but I was like, you know what? I decided to hit the, local music store today, River City Music. And, I figured I'd peruse, see what, headphones they had. And I got some Audio Technica, which I did review. They had like three options. There was like a $50 pair, like a $70 pair, something like that. Or like 80, 70 or 80. And then there was like a $100 pair. And I was looking up reviews and I was seeing mixed reviews on them. But definitely, there's a person saying that it was definitely you need to go with the $100 pair. So I was like, fuck. This is the most I've ever spent on headphones. I realize like most headphones now are a fucking fortune. I've just started using them, of course, today. I bought them earlier. And they're a little weird. I mean, the sound's totally different. I don't know what to think. I had to turn up the volume on my guitar amp. I was using it on there. And it took me a minute to get used to the guitar situation, but I like where that's going. I'm getting more mid-range in there with the old Skullcandy pair I got that cuts out. I don't think the mid-range was coming out so well. And made it to where I had to really jack around with the settings on the amp and pedals. But it was quieter, not as loud. So I was having to turn the volume almost max on the amp to get it where it was with the Skullcandy, as long as I don't have to go louder than that, I guess not really a problem. But it sounds weird. My voice sounds weird. with these headphones on, but it's great that I can turn my head and the sound doesn't completely cut out. It doesn't cut out at all. It's quite amazing. I might still end up trying to see what those, like maybe get a Black Friday deal on some other headphones too. Because I'm really lacking on the headphones. I used to have several sets of headphones. So when I did a podcast, you know, with several people, I had headphones for everybody. But now I'm kind of don't have that. I mean, I got some cheaper headphones that kind of half-ass work. I figure having spare sets of headphones is not a bad idea. Also, you know, I go in the other room to play guitar. And so then when I go in there, I got to take my headphones with me because I got them in here. Or, you know, I go to watch some VR porn. I got to unplug the headphones and put them in there because I don't want the speaker of the VR headset rocking the porn really loud. And I like to go in the bathroom for that so I can just, you know, jerk off right in there, wipe it up with some toilet paper, and then, you know, flush it down the toilet. And I share walls with my neighbors in the bathroom, so I figure it's polite to wear some headphones to where at least, I don't want them, you know, hearing that through the walls. So, hopefully I'm not making enough noise just jerking. I don't think that's quite loud enough. I could be wrong, but I'm wearing headphones, so it's really hard for me to tell. this makes me really feel like I just could never live with somebody again because I jerk off to VR porn so much. And with the headphones on, it's like, you know, you better start locking doors and maybe put some soundproofing in the room if you're going to live with somebody and jerk off to VR porn. Or make sure you know their schedule really well. Like, okay, they're going to be gone for 30 minutes. I got 30 minutes. Let's do this. Let's knock it out quick. I know exactly which one I'm going to. Because that just seems like awkward to walk in, you know, with somebody jerking off on a VR headset and they have headphones that they can't hear outside there and they're just still just going to town. You walk in the room and they're not stopping. Seems awkward. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that have walked in on other people jerking off with a VR headset. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I went to the River City Music store earlier and they had the Dave Grohl DG-335 Epiphone at the store. And I knew there was a possibility. It's showing up more, like pretty much all the guitar stores now. I was like, man, there's a strong chance it's there. And, I've been in a guitar center where they had it before, and it had a really damaged neck, so I didn't even, like, attempt to play it. So I was like, okay. It's a $1,300 guitar, you know. I don't need to be spending $1,300 on another guitar. which, you know, I'd considered trading in my one Epiphone to knock off hopefully at least like half the price and purchasing it because, you know, I love me some Foo Fighters music. I love that guitar tone and, you know, the Epiphone, Dave Grohl's got those Gibson pups in there. I love those Gibson pups. It's the Burst Buckers he's got in there, I do believe. And, having it in the local guitar store, which I've waffled on wanting to get that guitar. Because, what helped me waffle on it was, you know, the Dave Grohl Secret Love Child. Maybe rethink, not that, you know, I mean, this is a normal rock star behavior, but he did sell himself as quite the family man. He wrote a whole book about it, basically. And so, there it is. The Agent Fox Mulder is getting fed. He must already be down there waiting for it because I don't hear him running or hopping, so to speak. Oh, but anyway, I mean, I did only walk out of River City with just a pair of headphones. Nothing else. No other accoutrement or guitars. I got to say, staring at it today, looking at it, you know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about the Pelham Blue. There is, that Noel Gallagher Riviera I got there. There's a lot of things I like about it and dislike. And I've got it set up for me. I've got the already. So it's got the strings and everything I want on it. And the neck is so-so. There's certain positions, like playing around, like the ninth fret and like fretting out certain chords. It feels weird. Like I feel like I would like a different neck profile on it. Not crazy about the tuners. They're really small. They're annoying. But I like the overall look of it, man. I like that dark wine red. I like that. I think I prefer that over the Pelham Blue. But I'm also not crazy about the pickups in there. And, you know, but so the pickups, I want those Burstbucker pickups from that Dave Grohl. I love, on the Dave Grohl guitar, I mean, I love the headstock. It's got the six in line, like a Fender. It's got the Firebird headstock, basically, on there, whereas the Sheraton's got the three over three. It's a six in line. And I'm thinking that it's probably got a way better tuning stability, which, you know, over time, it does seem like the Epiphone I've got here, like, has gotten better with the tuning stability. It seemed like when I first got it, maybe it just needed, you know, the wood needed to settle down. Or maybe it was just in the hotter months or something. Maybe the new furnace. I don't know. Whatever happened, like, it seems like the tuning stability is better. Maybe it's just where I'm keeping it in that room is better temperature controlled. I'm not really sure. but I would definitely say that, yeah, I don't know. I picked up the DG335. I picked it up. I held it this time. Like at Guitar Center, I didn't even hold it when I saw the neck was damaged, and I didn't really want to play in front of my friend John because he gives me a lot of shit about stuff, and I feel like he was going to judge me a lot on my ability to play guitar and, you know, the fact that I've got like eight guitars, whatever it is at this point. And, you know, like that's what you play, and you sound like that. You spend all this money on guitars and that's all you can do. Anyway. yeah, at River City today, I almost plugged it in. I did pick it up. I didn't have a pick. I just played with my fingers a little bit, just a little bit to feel the neck. I started fretting out the Pretender. And, yeah, had there not been another guy in there like playing guitar, maybe I wouldn't have, or maybe I would have bothered to amp it up and then, you know, see what's doing, because the pickups and just, you know, playing in general would have given me a lot better feel. Like, okay, do I really want to buy this? Do I not? That being said, I would say that, I mean, nothing, holding it in my hands and stuff didn't go like, I have to have this. It was definitely, I didn't feel the, that I absolutely had to have it. But, you know, River City is still open. By the time I record this, they should still be open. And if I really want to go in and just try it, I could do that. It's possible. It's 2:30 right now, and they're open till 5. I'll be done with this in, you know, like 40 minutes or so. 45 minutes. So I can get over there by 3:30 or 4, you know. I could, you know, theoretically put that that Epiphone in its case and take it over there with me and just, like, you know, leave it in the car. Then go try that guitar. Just kind of see how it feels. But I don't know. I'm not feeling like, you know, I should really, if I'm going to get a guitar with Burstbuckers and a different one than I currently have, I should go all out, you know. Get something I feel more strongly about. And, like, wait till I pay off my SG. And then, because I watched the Gibson Mod Shop they have on their website. They take guitars that have like demo guitars and stuff, and then like repaint them, or just guitars that they're trying to sell. That might have a ding or two in them, so they repaint them and whatnot, and you can get some good deals on some fucking Gibsons that way. And they have some unique fucking designs and stuff on them. And there's often a lot of, you know, 335s, and there's been one on there that I would like to have that I think even has burst buckers, but it's like $5,000, and I don't have $5,000 that I can spend on a guitar. see here. Let me just look it up. What the nice thing about, you can buy straight from Gibson now, and like go in like the mod shop, and it will like you can apply for a credit card through there. So I don't even need like Sweetwater or anything, and I can get. Oh, man, there's just some nice fucking, I mean, unique colors. And that's kind of, you know, the great thing. I mean, there's some really awesome shit on here. And you can get deals on good, like, custom shop models, which custom shop models are fucking expensive. So the idea of owning, like, a custom shop model is pretty enticing. Pretty enticing. And I feel like, you know, maybe I should go this route if I'm going to... Because, you know, I love big hollow body guitars, like a 335. They're just fun to play. And that's really what enticed me about the whole Dave Grohl thing, guitar. And, but you know what? I don't know. If it was like a Gibson, like, standard line, maybe I would be more enthused about it, get that nitro finish. I may be just a little spoiled with having... two Gibsons now, and that has probably, you know, fucked with my once it's like flowers for Algernon. Once you've experienced the best, it's hard to just go back. And man, there's just some really awesome shit on the mod shop though. And they get quite a few ES-335s, which, that I mean, that's basically, I mean, the DG-335 is a 335 with diamond-shaped F-holes, and then it's basically a Trini Lopez. and they got the Firebird, like, headstock. But I feel like, though, too, I mean, that Dave Grohl Epiphone, I feel like the resale value, although the coming tariffs are going to really... jack the price of that up, which is really like, I feel like maybe I should go buy it because it's going to be, you know, if Trump really does put tariffs on everything, the price of that is going to go through the fucking roof. There's no way I'd be able to afford it. But that being said, yeah, I'd way rather just wait a few years and get a one of a kind Gibson, you know? But I don't know. I haven't actually amped the thing up. I feel like I'm going to feel a lot differently, like, playing those pups. You know, theoretically, I could just swap out the pickups, buy some burst buckers, and put them in that Epiphone. But, I mean, that's not the only thing that I prefer over the DG-335. Man, these are just... life is full of all kinds of tough decisions, you know? tough decisions. But I was able to touch it today. I touched it. I put my hands on it. I stroked it. And I didn't do it to completion. I didn't do it until I paid for it. So I'm somewhat proud of myself. But I've, you know, it's weird with guitars. I've noticed now that I've got a very particular about strings and setup now, that the guitar doesn't feel right when I first get it. Although, with the exception of the Gibson Tony Iommi SG I got, I have done no setup on that whatsoever. I did that straight out of the gate from Streetwater. Sweet water. Street water. Yeah, all right. That sounds disgusting. Street water. It's water collecting on the street. Yes, drink that right up. No, sweet water. I'm not sure if it's, you know, how they themselves set it up, but, you know, Gibson, of course, does, you know, from what I understand, fairly solid setups coming out of the plant. Although the Adam Jones one, I did end up getting a setup done on that because I'd been playing my Epiphone Les Paul with the Ernie Ball skinny top heavy bottom strings on it. And I had it properly set up through River City, and I really enjoyed how it played. And then it felt really weird with the strings they sent out with it on Gibson. And it just didn't feel right. But then, like, dude, it hit another world when I got it set up at River City and then put those skinny top, heavy bottom Ernie Balls on there. I mean, still my number one guitar, that Adam Jones Gibson. It is, nothing feels the same. Nothing feels quite right as playing that guitar. And it's funny, like, that guitar has never left drop D. Well, no, that's not true. I think I did briefly put it in drop B. I think I put it in drop B just briefly to play Prison Sex. That being said, though, I mean, SG, man, when I got that, it just played fantastic. No setup required. And, yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this, but, I'm probably not. What I'm getting at is I'm probably not going back to River City after this and buying that guitar. Probably not. I'm an impulsive person, though. I might, you know, flip a coin and be like, well, the coin told me to go do this. Yeah, don't, you know. It's always possible I could start the next episode and be like, so I bought that guitar. But I'm thinking the headphones were I'm perfectly fine with that purchase. I feel like that's all I need to really buy today, other than food. Yeah, so past that, let's just put those guitars out of the mind, close off the brain to that. Maybe I can forget about that shit for at least a few minutes before I decide to drive back down there. Of course, I guess the big news of this week is in not political news. Was the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight, which I thought was going to be a joke of a fight. It was basically what I thought it was going to be. I didn't expect Netflix to have such shitty service with their problems with their server. You know, their servers were fucked last night. As I guess I'm going to have to call Mr. Mulder, Mr. Agent Fox Mulder here. Down as he's coming into, I guess he didn't get to see the fight either last night because I wasn't home. Maybe he's a little upset about that. I'll open the open the blinds in the other room. Hopefully he'll check that out for a second. So yeah, it's the Tyson fight, if you will. It was pretty funny. Like, okay, I went over to the Muffin Man's last night to see it with Shelly and the Muffin Man. Nabina was there. She didn't really get into watching the fight, but it was kind of funny that I was wondering if, like, they would have issues with the server. I didn't think a whole lot of it. This is, of course, the biggest live, you know, Netflix. They've dabbled a bit with live events, but they haven't had anything to this degree of bit large. I mean, there was a couple hundred million or so easily that were trying to watch the fight at the same exact time. And they were having issues. They were having issues with the servers. I'll tell you what, the undercard fights, not the first fight. The first fight was meh. But the two fights right before Tyson were pretty solid. The two women, Katie Taylor, from Ireland. I think it was Boyd, Ireland, which is, if I looked at it correctly, is just south of Dublin. Might be Dublin County, I'm not sure. Or County Dublin, I guess is how they would say it. But I didn't fully check to see if I was correct on where exactly she lived. But she had a very thick accent. And then I was rooting for her because of the Ireland factor. And I was wearing my Ireland jersey, or not jersey, but a hoodie. As, ooh, the Blues just beat the Bruins. It's their first win in a while. Anyway, I was, my just going off instincts. But like the other woman, Amanda, Serrano. Is it Serrano? I think Serrano. Serrano, yeah. She's, I believe, from Puerto Rico. And she, I mean, just going into the fight, looking at it, I was like, oh, dude, she had the eye of the fucking tiger. And I figure, you know, she is, of course, you know, Puerto Rico is, they are technically American citizens. I know that's hard to understand, but it is American territory. Unfortunately, they don't get to vote if they live in Puerto Rico in like American, like, you know, for like presidential election and such. But, yeah, a lot of, white Americans seem to think that they're not really Americans. Anyway, so I thought maybe she had a little fire in the belly there, and, just over, you know, recent events, probably getting a lot of hate online and whatnot. More than usual is, you know, online can be just a disgusting, you know, racism and whatnot is pretty awful. I was kind of half rooting for her, and she looked like, you know, coming out of the gate, like, dude, she's going to fucking level Katie Taylor, even though I knew, like, their last fight was apparently a really good one. I didn't see it, but, I got to say, you know, I think, Serrano got fucked in that fight. She did get a massive cut above her eye, which early on, it looked like she was going to knock out Katie Taylor. I mean, this is both of these women were just fucking going at it. I mean, they were just the whole fight. It was nonstop. Completely opposite of the Tyson-Jake Paul fight. Most of that was just Tyson waiting around to see if he could just, like, get a good hit in there. But I got to say, one of Tyson's worst fights. It was basically, but you know, fuck, he hasn't won a fight in like, what, 20 years or something? It's been a while. And that last fight he had against Roy Jones Jr., who was really annoying, by the way, the whole fight. He's like, he's got no legs. He's got no legs. Oh, I should mention too. Oh, I'll go back to this undercard fight here. Anyway, at this point, we were able to watch it on Muffin Man's Xbox. We were able to do that. We had it on the big TV. And, yeah, those two were great. And the cut that Serrano got above her eye, it was a massive cut. And from what I understand, I guess big cuts, some states have different rules on it, like that they'll just call the fight if it gets too bad. I'm looking at the picture of, like, right after the fight, the Serrano's fucking cut. It's so bad. That cut reminded me of one of my most disappointing, because about 20 years ago, I was pretty into, like, watching boxing. It was when I still had cable. And when the Klitschko brothers were in it, for whatever reason, I just never was a fan of Lennox Lewis. He just seemed kind of like a dick. I think it was his fighting style, too. Like, he was just had the more reach than anybody else. And he could just keep people away by, like, putting his fist out, because he just had so much more reach than anybody else. And he would just, you know, win on points. He wasn't, like, doing, you know, knockouts. But, I mean, he was a great boxer. He had a lot of wins. You know, he beat Tyson, which was another like disappointing fight. Which like the last, I don't know, like 10 fights I saw Tyson do were pretty disappointing fights. So I like, not only, I mean, this was just really just a paycheck for Tyson. I mean, he's 58 years old. And yeah, again, I did not expect anything out of that fight. I assumed Jake Paul was going to win and probably on points. But anyway, yeah, the undercard fight, though, it reminded me of when I believe it was Vitaly Klitschko that fought Lennox Lewis. Vitaly Klitschko. Yeah, it was Vitaly that 2003. So yeah, it was 21 years ago. At that point in time, Vitaly Klitschko was, I mean, he was just fucking top dog, man. I mean, he was just I believe they called him Dr. Iron Fist or something like that. You know, this is pre Russian-Ukrainian war. So he wasn't like mayor of Kyiv yet. I think Vitaly's the one mayor. I mean, you got Vitaly and Vladimir. I sometimes get them mixed up. But yeah, they got a little more important shit to do nowadays than boxing. But Vitaly seemed like he was definitely winning the fight on points, which, hell, I guess I'll go ahead and read over the Wikipedia on that fight, which, yeah, Dr. Iron Fist was Vitaly's nickname. See, the background it says here, a year earlier, Lennox Lewis had finally met Mike Tyson in the ring and achieved a landmark victory by knocking Tyson out in the eighth round. Oh, I forgot it was a knockout. The record-breaking pay-per-view fight, which nobody had problems with buffering, gotta say. Following his victory, Lewis took a year-long break from the ring, eventually vacating his IBF title after passing on the chance to face the IBF's number one contender, Chris Bird. Instead, Lewis turned his sights on a possible match with Vitaly Klitschko, who had become the WC's number one contender after defeating Larry Donald by 10th round technical knockout. In early 2003, however, negotiations for the fight fell through and Lewis began looking into a lucrative rematch with Tyson. The WBC ruled that a rematch with Tyson would be allowed on the basis that the winner would next defend their title against Klitschko. Tyson passed on the rematch, forcing Lewis to accept a less marketable fight against Kirk Johnson, which only Lewis's IBO title would be on the line. Klitschko was to fight on the undercard and take on Lewis in December. Before the Lewis-Johnson fight could take place, Johnson was forced to pull out with a chest injury. As such, Lewis and Klitschko agreed to face one another on June 21st rather than later in the year as originally planned. Here we go. Here's the fight. Though Klitschko came into the fight as the underdog, he was able to get off to a great start in the fight. Klitschko was the aggressor through the first two rounds and landed many hard shots to the head of Lewis, winning both rounds on all three judges' scorecards. In the second round, Klitschko was able to stagger Lewis with two hard right hands that opened a cut under Lewis's left eye. In the third round, Lewis came out aggressively and landed a strong right hand within the first 10 seconds that opened up a deep cut above Klitschko's left eye. Despite his injury, Klitschko fought a close round with Lewis as the two fighters traded jabs and power punches throughout the round. Though Lewis was able to win the round on the scorecards, Klitschko rebounded to take round four, in which both fighters appeared to be fatigued. In round five, Lewis landed several consecutive hard punches to Klitschko's ribs with his right hand while in a clinch with Klitschko, the HBO commentators disagreeing on the legality of the punches. By the time round five had ended, the condition of Klitschko's eyes had grown worse, with the corner camera broadcasting the severe open wound, but he was nevertheless allowed to continue into the sixth round. Lewis took advantage of Klitschko's impaired vision to land a monstrous uppercut in the sixth round. By now, both fighters looked exhausted, often staggering after coming together. Between rounds six and seven, it was determined by the ringside doctor that the damage of Klitschko's eye had become too severe and the fight was stopped because Klitschko's injury was a result of punches from Lewis, Lewis was named the winner of the fight by technical knockout. Bullshit. Klitschko was ahead 58-56 on the scorecards with two judges, giving Lewis only rounds 3 and 6 and the other rounds 5 and 6. And then aftermath, due to somewhat controversial ending, there was much demand for a rematch between the two. Lewis initially welcomed the idea, stating that after his victory that he hoped to face Klitschko once more in either November or December of 2003. Klitschko's eye injury had healed to the point that he had been cleared to face Lewis, and a tentative date of December 6th was set for the rematch. However, in August, Lewis changed his mind and pulled out of the bout, stating his intentions to not fight at all for the remainder of 2003. Instead, Klitschko boxed Kirk Johnson in a WBC title eliminator on December 6th to determine who would face Lewis next. Klitschko easily dispatched Johnson, winning by second round technical knockout to set up a rematch with Lewis. However, Lewis announced his retirement 2 months later on February 7th of 2004. You little bitch. Vacating his titles in the process. 2 months later, Klitschko met the WBC's number 2 ranked contender and then reigning WBO champion Corey Sanders, who defeated Klitschko's brother Vladimir early in 2003 for the vacant WBC and the ring heavyweight titles. Klitschko defeated Sanders, who relinquished his WBO title to the fight Klitschko by 8th round technical knockout to capture the crown. The lineal title would not be contested again for 5 years until Vladimir beat Ruslan Chagaev in 2009. But, man, that Lennox Lewis shit, it was a little bitch. Bowing out, like, you know what, I'm not going to give you a rematch. I'm not going to give you a rematch because why not? You know, it was just kind of shitty. And I remember just seeming like he got so, Klitschko got so fucked by, by that loss there. That was his, like, one fucking loss, man. He was 32-1, or at least by the time of that fight. That was a pre-fight record. He had lost one fight before that, so I guess, I don't know what his full-on record was. Let's see what his boxing record was. Yeah, just tell me what the goddamn record was, man. Yeah, I don't know what his record was. But, you know, that was a hugely disappointing fucking record. Or fucking loss. Which was complete bullshit. And then not giving him a rematch. But that undercard fight, though, I mean, it was... They let Serrano go. They went the fucking distance. And, you know, I was happy about that. I mean, it was a brutal fucking cut on her eye. I mean, it was very much like it was with Vitali Klitschko. But they let him fight it out. Like, you know, I'm of the opinion that if a fighter gets fucked up, and which, you know, I guess you can't let somebody just die in the ring. But if, you know, you're training for, you know, I don't know how long she trained for this fight, but I'm going to gather probably, you know, probably at least like 6 months or so. I mean, this is like what her whole career has led up to. I mean, this is a big fucking fight. But I would say that, you know, it's just shitty to just end a fight. on that, as, I would definitely say Serrano got, I felt like she won the fight. She got fucked in the end, but I, you know, I was liking me some Katie Taylor. Although I'm seeing Serrano pose with Jake Paul here, and I'm like, fuck Jake Paul. I mean, that was a killer fight, though. It was a killer fight, but the fun part, I guess, is what, I mean, it got kind of funny that leading up, like, as that fight was ending, like as you were getting closer. To tie, like, the first fight, there was, like, nobody already watching. And there was no buffering whatsoever, that first fight. But then as you started getting closer, like, the fight, the Barros or the Aztec guy. I don't remember their names. I remember the ladies. The fight before the Serrano Taylor fight, you had already definitely started seeing some buffering. There was some buffering issues as more people started watching. And then it started proceedingly as the Serrano Taylor fight got underway. More and more, like, oh, okay, people are getting on. This is a big deal. Netflix has never had this kind of traffic. It doesn't look like their servers are going to hold up. And by the end, which sucked because, like, I didn't, it started completely freezing by the end of the fight. So I wasn't able to hear, you know, them going over the decision. Like, the commentators were all for Serrano getting the win, but then Taylor ended up getting the win. Which, you know, always sucks that, you know, it comes down to just some judges giving them some points. And, but, you know, you can't let fighters go at it until, like, someone dies, you know? There's got to be some kind of rules. So at the end of the day, there's going to be, if you got two people that are very equally matched and they can't knock each other down, then you're going to have some shitty call. There's a good chance there's going to be a shitty call. Which is, you know, one of the toughest things about watching, like getting into boxing. And what turned me off eventually is, a lot of times, you know, the boxers, they'll skip on fights with like Lennox Lewis, just be like, you know what? Yeah, you got robbed from the victory, but I feel like I don't want to fight you again because I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose. So I'm just going to retire. Like, you little bitch. Like, he was all for fighting Tyson again, but Tyson's like, nah, I'm good. And, yeah, he was a little bitch. He didn't want to fight Klitschko again because he was I'm pretty sure, you know, it was like, I feel like I'm going to lose that fight. And they're just, Klitschko wasn't going to bring in as much money. I'm sure, you know, money is a big factor. I mean, you're getting your, whether you win or lose, you're in a boxing match. Unless you're knocking the guy out or female out, whoever, unless you're knocking him out in the first few seconds, you're going to get damaged. It's going to take its toll. And I can understand, be like, you know what? I'm going to go for the fight that's going to make me the most money. But as a fan and watching it, I would prefer that they go to the tougher opponent, you know, and go for the real fight, not what's going to give you the biggest payday. But, you know, it could have, like, it was just sad. Just thinking about that fight again. Anyway, like before the buffering got so bad where we couldn't see shit, we did get the totally intentional shot of Mike Tyson's bare ass in the locker room. It was so funny because clearly the camera guy or whoever was operating the camera could, I'm sure, clearly see that Tyson... bare ass was out. At least he didn't like zoom in on his dick or anything. But like as Tyson walks away after they interview him in the locker room, they pan down to show his naked ass. And apparently a lot of people, that's when it just stopped working. It went to buffering and like that's it. That's all I'm seeing of this fight tonight. Tyson's bare ass. It's my ass, America. Suck on that. This is all about just that $20 million I'm getting as I'm turning more into Jay Leno than Mike Tyson. Anyway. Which I feel like now he's still got that list, but he's not as prominent as he was in his heyday. Maybe that's what fucked Tyson, you know? He should have kept that lift more. Which I guess he still got the lift, but he's got that more of like just less Jay Leno, more like bass. Maybe it's the weed. He's just way more relaxed nowadays with his Tyson weed. And you know, again, yeah, he just like it was just a big ass paycheck, is what it was. And I don't think he wanted to, you know. He's 58 years old. He doesn't get his ass kicked at 58. And I'm sure there was he didn't want to just destroy Jake Paul. It's not like he hates the guy. The guy's giving him a huge paycheck. I'm sure he fucking loves Jake Paul. Like, this guy get me paid. Fuck yeah. Let's go hang on the pigeons. He was talking about trash. $70,000 for this pigeon. Trash pigeons. A rat with wings. You paid $70,000 for a rat with wings. I'm just horrible, horrible Tyson impression. I apologize. I need to listen to Tyson talk some more if I'm going to even attempt that. That's just bad. Anyway. Yeah, it was at that point, basically, where Muffin Man's Xbox would not connect to the fight. As many people found that in the United States and apparently Canada, that their shit was not connecting to the fight. It was just not happening at that point. And then, of course, Shelly had found that on his cell phone through the T-Mobile network, he was able to connect to the fight. Still getting some buffering issues, but we watched the whole fight on his cell phone. The three of us huddled around his cell phone and watching it on there. And we just huddled up, which was pretty funny. That this biggest fight, it was just funny to me that there's millions upon millions of people huddled, you know, up to watch this, and they can't watch the fight as it's going on. Netflix fucked up big. I mean, their servers couldn't handle the traffic. And I did find that apparently people were using VPNs and saying that, you know, connecting up with servers in like South America, and that seemed to be working out a lot better because there was a lot less traffic on there. So, I mean, we could have gone that route. But we were able to watch it on Shelly's phone. We got to watch the fight, but I got to say the undercard fight was the real fight. That Taylor Serrano, that was a damn good fight, even though it was a little dirty with a cut, and Taylor did go in there and just keep fucking rubbing, like headbutting and rubbing. There's a little dirtiness there, but I mean, it is a fucking fight. If you're going to injure somebody like that, you're going to fucking go after, I mean, both of those women at the end of that fight were fucking bloodied, and neither one of them let up that whole fucking match. I mean, that was a hell of a fight. If you want to go back and watch that, fuck the Tyson fight. Go back and watch the Taylor Serrano fight. That was the real fight. If you enjoy like watching fighting, watch that shit. Yeah, great stuff. As I'm sure a lot of people were pretty pissed. I'm willing to bet that Netflix probably lost a lot of subscribers over last night, which I'm going to look up Netflix news here. I know that I went on X, fucking X, that just immediately everybody was posting pictures of Tyson's naked ass. And there was a lot of them were just stuck on that with the buffering, which is pretty funny. Reuters article with Netflix. I'm looking at news with Netflix. Netflix back up for most users in US after outage. Down detector shows. You know, the NFL and the WWE have signed deals to do live events on Netflix, and I'm sure they're not happy with how this played out. I'm sure they're going to want to ensure that, you know, their events don't get fucked. I imagine they're not going to have quite the traffic, though, that the Tyson-Jake Paul match had, you know? You're going to get big numbers with the NFL, but to the degree of, this Tyson fight, no, I don't think so. See, Netflix outrage. here we go. Comicbooks.com canceled Netflix trends after Paul versus Tyson streaming issue outage. And man, they already know. I'm getting ads for Gibson in here. They know what I want. They're like, Gibson, here you go. Anyway, says being the exclusive streamer of Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson could have been one of the biggest wins in Netflix's history. It was a bout anticipated by people who have never even had an affinity for boxing. And while it's not known exactly how many people tuned in to watch the two go at it, Netflix is always cagey with viewership numbers. Over 85,000 of them reported issues. I'm going to say it was a lot more people that had than that had issues, primarily in big cities. And naturally, many of them took to X, formerly Twitter, to voice their complaints. For instance, CCP is asshole, who wrote, "If Netflix doesn't fix this buffering issue, this will go down as one of the biggest fails in all of TV / streaming history." Yeah, I would say that. Those who replied chimed in, voicing similar concerns and similar mentalities, like Grammy with "It's their first time streaming live sports, and it's a fail." And Agatha Grancio, who added, "It hasn't buffered at all for me." Yo, fuck you, Agatha. X-user Brad Harris then added something that has become its own dreaded by Netflix trending hashtag, "It's not my internet, it's Netflix." "All speed tests show super speeds. Netflix needs to fix their end ASAP. I never use Netflix anyway, so I just think I'll have to cancel it." Given the interest surrounding the event, Netflix certainly should have anticipated massive numbers, especially given the fact that they were the only option for interested viewers to tune into. Yet many of those who used the platform still felt slighted, especially those who activated or renewed their Netflix subscription just to see the fight. Throughout the hours-long event, and it seems throughout the following morning, the hashtags "cancel Netflix" and "unsub Netflix today" have started to trend to what must be an alarming degree for the A-list streamer. I gotta say, you know what? I'd fucking cancel it if the final season of Stranger Things was out already. That's about the only thing I really keep Netflix around for anymore. Anyway, of course, it's not the first time the hashtag has trended. Netflix has upwards of 280 million subscribers worldwide. And when someone feels a service isn't what it's supposed to be or marketed, their first step in the digital age is to rush to their preferred social media outlet and vent their frustration. That usually takes the form of encouraging others to drop the service they feel has let them down. For instance, the hashtag trended this past July when Netflix CEO and co-founder Reed Hastings donated $7 million to Kamala Harris's campaign. But something about this round of cancel Netflix hashtags feels different. This fight was a proving ground of sorts for the streamer, and with a single event, they've called into question their ability to host, as it were, live sports events to a degree of quality expected by fans. Not to mention, in the end, the main event wasn't even much to write at home about. Those hoping the 58-year-old legend could knock some sense into and respect out of the 27-year-old YouTuber turned pro boxer were left sorely disappointed. Pro boxer is a bit of a joke. Come on. All he's fighting is like retired boxers. Come on now. There's even much speculation that the fight was fixed, but there was a consolation prize for those who could actually watch it, the clash between the victorious Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. That is true. That is where that article ends. And I think that's where I should end this talk on that fight. For the most part. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I don't really have much more to say on the fight. I was a little... it threw me off when... one thing I guess I could say is it did throw me off a little bit here in Rosie Perez during the fight. As Agent Fox Mulder's saying hi again. He's... What are you doing, buddy? What is it? Is Timmy stuck in the well? What's going on, man? Anywho, it was damn it, I'm still on the Gibson mod shop looking at their shit, man. Too nice of stuff on here. As one day I'll probably get another Gibson. Anyway, it was a little weird hearing Rosie Perez. I wasn't expecting to have Rosie Perez doing commentary. I got to say, one little more complaint about it. Like, I thought Rosie was actually one of the better commentators. I don't know how she ended up being one of the commentators. I don't know that she's done it before because she was saying she wasn't really a big boxing enthusiast, but she wasn't bad. Roy Jones Jr. was fucking terrible. And I don't know the name of the other fella, but like he was making some odd choices as he seemed like a wrestling announcer that went just like, you know, WWE and like just jumped over and did one boxing event. As Mulder, come on, man. Fox, come here. All right. Cat's on my lap. Hopefully it calms down. So I'm giving him a little pet. I don't know how the main announcer or the other dude who that was, but he was doing some weird shit. There was like one moment where he's like chronological age, meaning he's aging in order. There was something to the degree he said something to the effect of that he had said. It's like, you mean he's aging in order, like what, Tyson's not? He's not. He's a linear, non-linear aging. Like, what the fuck are you saying? He's Billy Pilgrim in Slaughterhouse-5, the Kurt Vonnegut book. Which actually, I was going to talk about Kurt Vonnegut a lot tonight because I love me some Kurt Vonnegut. I haven't really gotten in. I think I may have talked about it before. I think last week I had mentioned I picked up a Kurt Vonnegut board game for a birthday present for Jackman, but I was going to get into talking about Kurt Vonnegut and how much I love him. But Billy Pilgrim on Stuck from Time. I don't know. Is Tyson jumping back and forth from time? Was he fighting Lennox Lewis and then just somehow he's fighting Jake Paul? Or did he just get out of jail for rape and then now he's fighting Jake Paul? Like, where's... He's jumping through it all. Jumping through it all. He's playing with his tiger and then... It was a little odd that Jake Paul comes out and he's listening to Phil Collins in the air tonight. I guess, you know, because he obviously loves Mike Tyson. Say what you will. I hate the Paul brothers. Him and Logan Paul. I mean, talk about the scams that Logan Paul has been involved with. The Crypto Zoo, whatever the fuck it's called. The game that was a complete scam with the NFTs and whatnot that never really officially came out, but I believe he sold like some cryptocurrencies involved with it. And that and the Prime energy drink, I believe that's, you know, facing some big lawsuits, and it sounds like it's going to be going under any minute now. You never know, though. I mean, they got a lot of fucking money. As I said, I was already going to stop talking about that fight. But I'm not really talking about the fight. I'm just talking about the Paul brothers being douchebags. I don't know that much about Jake Paul, though. You know, maybe he's less of a douchebag. But it was odd, though, that he came out in the air tonight. And Tyson didn't, you know? It would seem that, you know, that because that was the song that Tyson got into in The Hangover when he did the air drummed the drum solo and punched... what's his nuts? Ed Helms. He punched Ed Helms. I'm going brain dead. I was brain dead a long time ago, I guess. I finally gave Shelley a fun fact. gave him his it's back in August, you know, his birthday. I'd gotten him I'd gotten him two records from River City Music. Gotta say, if you like records and they've got new good collection of new and used records. They're always updating their vinyl collection. As Agent Mulder's really freaking out here. You need to calm down, sir. You need to calm down. Do I need to open the door in the other room? All right, Agent Mulder's distracted for the moment in the other room. I just thought back. I'm probably not going back to River City today. Probably not. Shelley just sent me a picture, though, of inside the Imagine record. I got him Imagine, and I got him one of the Cheech and Chong albums, the John Lennon's Imagine, of course. I don't know if anybody else put out a record named Imagine. They shouldn't have. Because that's, you know, some shit. There's a weird picture inside the Imagine album, which I didn't look at inside the Imagine album, or I didn't see the picture before. But it's like John is some kind of like fairy tale like creature, like very hairy creature playing a lute or something. And then Yoko's head is put on some kind of naked woman. Like, I don't know, it's supposed to be like Eve, of Adam and Eve or something strange going on. Like hanging out in a tree. And there's somebody like some woman behind her. Is there like in some forest or something? It's very strange. And, yeah, I didn't see that photo in there. In the Cheech and Chong, in the Cheech and Chong record, there was a photo of Cheech and Chong on rolling paper, and it was the original like picture like left in there with the rolling paper. I was surprised. It was like a massive thing of rolling paper. Could have made a comically large joint with that rolling paper. I mean, it was, the rolling paper was almost the size of the fucking record. You could have made a Cheech and Chong size joint, as it's funny to have that in there. Shelley did seem to appreciate that. As that now I'm gonna, that picture of John Lennon and Yoko is gonna like haunt me later. It's gonna be stuck in my head. My head's gonna be buffering on that picture of John Lennon, and it's a weird picture, man, of John Lennon and Yoko. Which, you know, they took some weird pictures. I mean, you know, they took the pictures of them laying naked in bed together, which I feel like this one where he's some kind of mythical creature is somehow stranger. Like, them just being naked just look like two naked people. Nothing really crazy about that. But this one's a bit strange. This one's a bit strange. And my head is buffering on it right now. It's stuck there. It's a combination of that and Mike Tyson's bare ass, which I unfortunately will not see the end of. It was great, though, seeing all the people post on the internet, like memes, where it was just like SpongeBob showing his ass and different creatures showing their ass, where it looked very close to Mr. Tyson. Just like, you know, I guess for a 58-year-old, he doesn't have a bad ass. For a 58-year-old, but again, it was a 50-year-old man's ass. Not like the greatest looking thing. Man ass in general is not usually the greatest. But 58-year-old man ass, definitely. I mean, quality for his age, I would think. But not something to be like, ooh, yeah, show me that ass. And that just kind of surmised, there summed up the whole thing, though. The Tyson ass. I think I'm just gonna name this episode Buffering. I mean, holy shit, Netflix, man, you really fucked yourself on this one. I mean, I think there's gonna be a lot of cancellations of Netflix because of this. They really shit the bed. They shit the bed like me in Russia. I mean, but like worse shit the bed. Like my shit the bed was just like a little spray, and I was able to clean it to where housekeeping, I'm sure, didn't even notice. They never knew what happened. Everyone saw this happen. This was like fucking liquid lava, you know, like a volcano of shit coming out onto the bed, and that everyone could see it from miles away. That's what Netflix did. They shit so bad. Covered the world in their volcanic shit. Way to go, Netflix. Which sucks, man. I'm all for these streaming services to have more live sporting events. You know, because I cut the cord on cable fucking decades ago at this point, I haven't been able to watch a whole lot of sports, unless I had, like, you know, an antenna, regular antenna connection, just watch, you know, the games that they were broadcasting on local television. But I'm starting to be able to get to see more now that you can do a lot more through Amazon Prime and YouTube TV and whatnot. I'm starting to get to see more events like that. And knowing that Netflix is doing like a deal with the NFL, I mean, I could potentially see more via Netflix. But I'm thinking that a lot of people are going to want to pull the plug on their live events with Netflix, seeing how terrible this Tyson fight went. Seeing how, I mean, they shit the bed. They knew. They had to have had an idea of what kind of numbers they were going to get. It was it's a fucking Tyson fight. Most likely going to be his last fight ever. Who knows, though? He could be like, you know what? I still want to get that dove, that pigeon back and eat it. I have round two. As, you know, he's going to maybe train more and then actually put some effort into the fight. And, yeah, I'm sure they'll still get, like, massive numbers. I do feel like I could bitch about this fight forever. Like, they could have gone with some better announcers and stuff. But I guess, you know, when you're fighting against the, like, HBO and people that have been doing this shit forever, they got the A-team. And they got that shit on lock. That Netflix, they don't have the A-team. They haven't been doing it very long. So, you know, I mean, you got to expect some shittiness there, I guess. I mean, it wasn't the worst announcing, I guess, I've ever heard. But, yeah, I guess that's really all I've got. And I'm going to try to stay away from River City the rest of the day. We'll see how that goes. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.